right, let's get going. Let's get to work. Tonight, we're going to finish up our two-part series called Growing Up. Last week, we looked at God's discipline and how God uses discipline in our lives to transform us and to shape us and to set us up for the future. And tonight, we're going to look at and talk about making good choices and what does it look like to be a people who make good choices. The title of tonight's message is Making Good Choices. Now, before we get rolling, I would like to review a little bit from last week, because what I would like to do is to build a bridge to get from where we were last week and the things that we talked about last week to build a bridge to get to where we are tonight. Last week, we learned that God uses difficulty and hardship in our lives to discipline us. We learned that his discipline is loving as it reveals his heart and his commitment to us. His discipline reminds us that we belong to him, that we're special to him, that we matter to him, and that he's committed to us. We discovered that his discipline sets us up for the future. God, through hardship, disciplines us and gives us something in that moment that's good in and of itself, but not only that, but it prepares us to be successful as we move forward. And finally, we learn that God's discipline works to break us of unhealthy and unattractive habits and attitudes and instills in us and builds into us new things instead. Discipline is meant to change us. It's meant to transform us from the inside out. And when I say that, I mean discipline is supposed to do something in us and supposed to transform something in this inside of us. And that transformation is supposed to be expressed in something external. Luke 6:44, Jesus says, he was talking about the Pharisees, and he says, you know, you can recognize a tree by its fruit. You can recognize a tree by its fruit. And for us, that means that there's something that happens on the outside that reveals what's going on the inside. And so if God uses discipline to transform us, then the proof of that discipline and the proof of that transformation should show up in the choices we make and in the things we do. You know, that's the true test of whether we've learned our lesson. That's the true test of whether we've grown up, is does it translate to the way we live? God plays his part in our lives in helping us grow up by disciplining us, but it's a two-way street. You know, we need to play our part too. God shows us who we're supposed to be through discipline, and then we, in response, have to live accordingly. We have to live in agreement with who we're supposed to be. God uses discipline and said, this is what life is meant to look like. This is how you're supposed to be. And then we, in turn, moving forward from that place, agree with it and say yes and make choices that show and reveal that God has had his way inside of us. And this is where we move into tonight's message. Tonight we learn to take ownership over our own lives. We learn to make good choices that reflect and reveal the transformation that has happened inside of us. Tonight is where we grow up and we learn to actually live in agreement with who God says we are. You know, making choices is part of growing up. When we're little lads, you know, our parents, they tell us what to wear and they tell us what to eat and, you know, tell us where to go. You know, they make all the choices for us. Actually, and they not only do they make the choices for us, but they do a lot of things for us. But as we grow up, we are actually given the freedom and the liberty to begin to choose for ourselves. Now, I remember the first time I got the opportunity to choose what I was going to wear to school. Now, I grew up in a small town, rural town in New Jersey. It was a beautiful rural town. Now, yes, there are beautiful rural towns in New Jersey, okay? I just want to say that. For all you haters of Jersey, back off, okay? Okay, I grew up in a beautiful rural town, and I loved it, the changing of seasons. And one of my favorite things to do when the seasons begin to change in the fall and the winter is I like to, when I wear clothes, I like to wear layers, okay? So one time I had this brilliant idea. And you know what it's like, you know, sometimes you picture stuff in your head and you're like, this is going to be awesome, you know, but actually when it turns out in real life, it's not as much. So I had this idea that I was going to wear, a zipper-up windbreaker. Like, the first layer on my skin was going to be a zipper-up windbreaker, and, like, wear a t-shirt over it, and I was going to go to school like that. So this is another example of when you picture something in your head, it actually doesn't turn out that good. That was not my finest fashion hour at all. But it's good news, because my liberty to choose my own clothes has diminished ever since, and now that I'm married to Emily, I don't even have to pick out my wardrobe. She just does it for me. So thank you. If you guys like the way I look, thank you, Emily. You know, but in most cases, more choices are, given to us as we grow up. Another example is when we go through school. You know, when we're in elementary and middle school, our state or our school district, our teachers decide for us what we're going to learn. You know, and then when you get to high school, then you get to take some electives. You get some creative liberty on what kind of classes you want to take as you discover what you enjoy. And then when you get to college, you get to select the whole genre of classes as it pertains to your major. And then once you graduate from college, you get to decide how you want to use that major to serve the world. You know, and so it's just another example of how the amount of choices that we have increases exponentially as we grow up. And as I was growing up, and as those choices were being afforded to me, I didn't always make them wisely. I didn't always make the wisest choices. Now, my stupid switch. Now, fellas in the room, you know what I'm talking about when I say stupid switch, right? Stupid switch, it's that little thing inside of you that it blows right through every red light, every stop sign that says don't go forward, it just blows right through. It's the little voice in your head that says, it's a little voice inside your head that says something that's really stupid is actually going to be a good idea. You know, it's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? So I remember this one time when I was in eighth grade, I was hanging out at this girl's house, and I kind of liked this girl, and we were swimming, and it was a bunch of friends. And you know what it's like when you like a girl, that you're like, I got to do something to look cool, and I'm going to be cool, and I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to do something that's going to make me look good. And so we're swimming, and I'm standing there on the diving board, and then she's looking at me. I'm like, okay, now's my moment. I'm going to do something totally awesome, okay? So this is not a good combination, okay? You can see where the stupid switch and this situation do not make a good pair, okay? You can see where it's going. So I have this idea that I'm gonna make myself look really good. And I see this, my friend, he's in the pool, and I think he kind of liked her too. So I had this thought, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump off the diving board and I'm going to do a cannonball like right next to him. And it's going to make him look like weak sauce and it's going to make me look great. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. So I'm waiting for my moment. As soon as he looks away, I'm going to go. So he looks away and I'm going to plant with my left foot. I'm going to leap and I'm going to take off and I'm going to cannonball through the air like this machismo, this masculine ball of muscle. I'm going to be a rock star. Okay. So I go to take a step and as I go to leap and as I go to leap for glory, okay? My left foot actually slips off the edge of the diving board. So I go to take my step, but it's not on the board, it slips off the board, and I nosedive, and you know what it's like on the diving board, huge gash in my knee, and I just kind of crumple into the pool, you know? And I ate it so hard. And what was worse, I was bleeding profusely. I mean, I was bleeding so much, and the chlorine in the pool was just like on fire on my knee, and I mean, I got to play it cool. So I'm like, oh, it's fine. But like, I mean, it ended up, she had, like, this girl that I liked was like trying to like take care of my knee. It was like bleeding for 2 hours. It was like a lot of blood. It wasn't my finest moment. The good news about God is that, though, he uses things like that to teach us. And, you know, Jacob in the Old Testament, he wrestled with God and God gave him a limp and it was supposed to be a reminder to him about, you know, submitting to God. Well, I have a big old scar on my knee, and every time I see it, it reminds me, dude, don't let your stupid switch lead your train, okay? Don't let your stupid switch lead you. So now I know. But on a more serious note, looking back on some of the choices I made and my as you know, this example shows you, not my best choices. You know, I made them hoping that they would make me look good, and made them hoping that they would make me feel good. But actually, I think that type of choice and choices like that exposed something deeper that was going on. It exposed a deep insecurity and a deep desire to be accepted and to be liked. And I think choices like that exposed just how much I needed to grow up. You see, I really believe that our choices define who we are. I really believe that our choices reveal who we are. At the end of the day, the things that we choose and the things that we decide reveal what's going on the inside. I believe every choice makes a statement about who we are. And because we have the freedom of choice, and because choices do reveal who we are, we get to decide the type of people that we're going to be. Okay? I'm going to say that again. We get to decide the type of people that we're going to be. It's the old adage of, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know, God can use discipline to lead us to the water, but only we can choose it. You know, only we can choose to drink it. And so we get to decide the type of people that we're going to be. And that's the power of choice. And I want you to feel the weight of that. I want you to feel the weight and the weight that is on you. And it's not a weight that you cannot bear. God is giving you grace and giving you power to wield that power to choose. You know, he's giving you an ability to choose wisely. But I want you to feel the weight and the power of it, that you get to decide who you're going to be. You get to decide the type of person you're going to be. Will we use our freedom to make grown-up choices, or will we use our freedom to remain as children? As we move forward and look at the types of choices mature people make, I want us to keep these few questions in the forefront of our brains. What do our current choices reveal about who we are, and what type of people do we want to be? What do our current choices reveal about who we are, and what type of people do we want to be? So we're going to go back to James 1, and I'm just going to touch on it real briefly. I know we talked about it last week. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And verse 4 is where I want to focus today. The phrase mature and complete, not lacking anything. And the driving questions behind it is, what does it look like to be mature and complete? What type of choices do people who are mature, what type of choices do they make? And so what we're going to do for the remainder of the time is I'm going to list out my top 10, the top 10 choices that mature people make. Now, I know it's not an exhaustive list. It's not the only choices that people can make, but they are choices that reflect the ways that I feel like I have taken ownership over who I'm going to be, the ways that I've responded to God's discipline and the ways that I've grown up. And hopefully, I'm just imparting them to you or sharing them with you to help you in your journey. You know, and in your journey, you'll probably discover other things, and there'll be other things that God teaches you, and there'll be different types of choices that you'll have to make. But these are the ones that I've learned to make, and I feel like they've taken me from who I used to be to who I am today. Y'all ready? Yes. All right, giddy up. Number 10, and this is just going off of last week. Mature people choose to receive hardship as God's loving discipline. Now, we talked about it all last week. I'm not going to go into it any further tonight. But if you weren't here last week and you would like to hear more about that, it's up on our podcast and our website. Please go have a listen. But just I wanted you all to know that choice is in my top 10. Number 9, mature people choose to strengthen themselves in the Lord. As we mentioned last week, sometimes life gets tough. Sometimes life gets incredibly tough. But strengthening ourselves in the Lord is about digging deep wells of life as we discover God in the midst of our difficulty. It's about refusing to give in to discouragement and despair. Strengthening ourselves in the Lord is about stubborn faith, believing that God is who he says he is and believing that what he has promised is true. You know, I think I need to say this. I think sometimes when we're going through difficulty, we kind of use it as an excuse to throw a pity party. You know, woe is me. And we use it as an excuse to kind of wait around and wait for someone to come up to us to encourage us. But my encouragement to us tonight is that actually we need to take ownership about that internal temperature. We need to take ownership over what we believe about God, and it's our job to do that. It's our job to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. At the end of the day, we must choose. We must learn how to seek him so that we can find strength and courage to face our storms head on. No one's going to do it for us. Yes, should we encourage one another when they're going through difficulty? Yes. Should we come alongside our friends? Yes, absolutely. But at the end of the day, we need to dig deep and find something within us that we can face things head on. Number 8, mature people choose to speak the truth in love. I know, I think somewhere along the way, we learned that calling something wrong is not being loving or gracious. That's not true. Calling something wrong or calling something sin, especially when we're talking to one another, is our way of calling one another up to something more. It's our way of identifying the things that aren't true about that person, and that it's our way of seeing something that's off and calling them and bringing out their true potential. It's not just calling something sin. It's not saying you're a sinner, quit being a sinner. It's saying, you know, when I see a friend who's not acting like he should, I say, dude, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. So knock it off, you know. When I have a friend who's being a knucklehead, I say, dude, you're better than that. Let's go. Step it up, you know. And it's a way that I call him up to something and not berate him and make him feel lesser. But I actually point to the fact that he's more, and I call him up to that. And the point of that is to increase, and it's point of that is to for his behavior and his attitudes to arise to the level of his true identity. And so that's why we speak the truth in love, because we want to bring the best out of each other. And we're committed to not letting people get away with stuff that's less than who they are in God. Number 7, mature people choose to own up to their weaknesses. You know, a fast way to lose a friend who comes to tell you how you've hurt them is to always make them feel like they're in the wrong. You know, a fast way to lose a friend is to act as if you can do no wrong. Now, I do want to say this. I know that I don't want us to take that too far, but what I want to say is that it's also not fun to be friends with people who are constantly reminding us of how we're always hurting them. And, you know, I feel like there is a choice to believe the best about one another. So don't swing too far on this one. But ultimately, at the bottom line, it is important that we own up to our own weaknesses. We own up to the things that are hurting people. We own up to it ourselves, and we choose to do that. I found that the words "I'm sorry" actually go a really long way in healthy relationships. Okay, I'm sorry. I know it's a very profound phrase. I am sorry. Mature people are humble and open and approachable and teachable. And they humbly admit their weaknesses when they're exposed. I have a humble confession to make. I think I'm laying down my man card on this one, is that my wife, Emily, has a better sense of direction than I do, okay? She has a better sense of direction. She has incredible driving intuition. You can just kind of place her anywhere, and she just knows how to navigate. I'm much more of a planner, so we're going to go on a trip. I'm going to look up the directions. I'm going to look at them. I'm going to study them. I love to know the decisions that I'm going to make before I have to make them. She doesn't really need that. She has this great intuition and can make decisions on the fly. You can just stick her in a car, and her mad ninja directional skills are just going to point her where she needs to go. Okay? And I can't tell you how many fights in the car could have been avoided if I was just secure enough to admit that she is better. She has a better driving intuition than I do. All that to say is, own up to it, say sorry, get better, and move on. Okay. All right. Number six, mature people choose to live from the inside out. Mature people know how to find their identity, and their sense of value, and their sense of worth, and their importance in God. You know, I know I'm special. I know I'm special because I've heard the Father speak to me and say, "You're special to me." And I think for all of us, we need to hear the Father say that. We need to know that we are important. We need to know that we are special to Him. You know, the Bible says, "Keep me," David is speaking, "keep me as the apple of your eye." So we are the apple of the Father's eye. And so you need to know that you are special. You need to know that you're important to Him. And it's not because of anything that you do. When, you know, when a little babe is born, right, the only thing they can do is cry and eat and poop and sleep, right? But they are the most special thing in the world. And so when the Father looks at you, He sees you like that. You are so important to Him, and you are so special to Him because you're His. Mature people don't evaluate themselves on the basis of what other people think about them. They're not using the perceptions or the observations of others. And, you know, sometimes we're encouraged and we're affirmed and recognized for things, but that's exactly what it should be. It should just be confirming the things that we already knew to be true. And mature people know how to live from that deep place of confidence, in those deep affections from God. The word confidence is actually made up of two words, con, which means with, and fidere, which means to believe or faith. Literally put together, it means with belief, and it's where we get that phrase, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Now, I'm not proposing that we believe about ourselves what we think about ourselves, but I am saying we can believe about ourselves what God says about us. We can find confidence and find our place of security in what God says about us. And I want to say this, and this is something that took me a while to learn, but I feel like I understand now. We will never be seen in the way we wish to be seen until we stop caring about being seen in that way. It's kind of this backwards, upside down kingdom principle. We will never be seen in the way we really wish to be seen until we stop caring about being seen in that way. You know, living from the inside out, being genuine, being authentic, not caring who sees and who doesn't. Just living from that confident, secure place and saying, this is who I am and this is how I'm going to live. Number five, mature people choose to speak truth over themselves. Sounds a bit strange, I know, but it is a practice that keeps us at a high level of security, that keeps us at a high level of confidence, and it keeps us living in our true identity. Too many times we lie down and let things that are untrue walk all over us. Too many times things that are spoken of us or thoughts that we have in our head, we lie down and let them walk over us. And you know what they sound like. The devil loves to speak in the first person. You know, it sounds like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not lovable, or I'm not important, or I'm ugly, or I'm fat, or things like that. And these first-person phrases that I have to say are from the pit of hell. And so when I hear those thoughts in my head, I have learned to say, to identify that and say, that is not of God, and that is not true, and I attack it like white blood cells attacking a virus, okay? And I go after it, and I say, that is not true. This is who I am. And I sometimes I'm in my car and I'm driving, and people probably think I'm crazy, but I'm just, and I never listen to music. I always drive with the radio off, but there's sometimes where I'm talking to myself and I'm saying, I am this, I am this, I am this, and I speak truth over myself because there's no way that I'm gonna let something that's untrue walk all over me. There's no way. I refuse to let things that are untrue dictate how I live and dictate how I feel about myself. Can I get an amen? Let me know someone's alive in here. Thank you. All right, here we go. Okay. All right, getting practical here. Number four, mature people choose to take care of their bodies. Okay, getting practical. You know, God made us physical beings, and so I think there is a godly way to be a physical being. God made us physical, and so there's a godly way to approach it. And now there's lots that we can say about this, but I just want to touch on three things. The first is food. My biggest concern and my biggest struggle is portion control, okay? I love to eat. When I was in high school, I could just go through the fridge, go through the freezer, go through the cupboard. I could eat and eat and eat. I was known as the garbage disposal. Everyone would send me their leftovers. I could eat and I can eat and I can eat. And you know what? I could like take a nap and burn it all off. Because I just, the way it was. But that's not what life is like anymore for me. And I need to get used to that. I need to get used to that. Okay? And this is my admonition. Let's just be aware of how much we're eating. There have been times when I've heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "Hey, Andy, I think you've had enough." And I said, I felt the love, but I was like, you know what? Yeah, I have. I've had plenty. I think I'll stop now. I really do believe mature people, they choose to honor God in the way they eat. The second is exercise. Our heart is our life source, and our heart is also a muscle. So if we want that life source to be big and strong, we need to exercise it, okay? So my encouragement is walk or run just a few times a week. I believe mature people, you know, we take ownership over our own bodies and the gift that God has given us, and we steward it well. And the final one is sleep, okay? And I just have three words to say. Go to bed, okay? Go to bed. And people make fun of me, Andy. You go to bed so early because you're such a grandpa. And la la la. You know what? I go to bed because I'm setting myself up for the next day. Okay, and I realize the consequences of my choices. I know if I don't go to bed on time, I'm going to be groggy in the morning. I'm not going to be able to connect with God, and I'm probably not going to be able to give very good energy and effort to the things that God has called me to do. So you know what? I am going to go to bed at 9 or 9:30, and I don't care what you say, because I'm setting myself up for success. All right. And so go to bed. All right. Okay. Number three, mature people choose to serve their leaders with respect and loyalty. Goodness, I could talk about this one for hours. It is such a deep conviction of mine that men and women of God honor the leader or the authority that is in their life, be it coach or parent, our pastor. I believe great men and women of God know how to serve, and they know how to get behind someone else's vision. I just need to say that God will not give you your own territory. He will not give you your own space to rule and reign until you learn how to serve someone else who's ruling and reigning. Okay, you need to learn how to get behind someone else before you can be entrusted with things yourself. And honestly, I make it my goal to make Travis look good. In everything I do, I'm like, what can I do to make him look good? And I'm at a stage, and I got into a point where I don't care if people know my name, and I don't care if people know that I did this or did that. But if it's gonna make him, if it's gonna make him look good, and to make our pastor look like he's, you know, he's leading us well, then I'm gonna do it. And that's just a conviction of mine. And so I would encourage all of you to think about that. Who are the people in your life that are leading you? Who are the people in your life that that have a place of authority over you? And are you getting behind them and giving them your very best? Number two, mature people choose to say no to sin and ungodliness. There are many reasons why we are tempted by things. You know, there's always a hook, you know, a hook, something that is appealing to us. And while knowing the hook, knowing what it is about sin that is drawing us is important because it helps us be victorious, at the end of the day, our obedience or our sin is a choice that we make. It's a choice. It is something that we choose. And I just want to say, fellas, come on, let's go. It is time. It is time not to lie down and let sexual sin walk all over you. It's time not to let that rule and reign in your life. It's time to rise up and be the men that you're called to be and be victorious over it. Because God has said you are an overcomer, and God has said you are victorious, and it's time not to lie down. And ladies, don't think you're getting away easy here, okay? Because I just want to say, it's time to stop comparing yourselves to one another, and it's time to stop looking at looking for the affections and the attention of men to feel good about yourself. And it's time to stop believing lies about yourself and the things that are untrue. You have the power to choose. You have the power to choose what is true, and you have the power to choose that what God says of you is more important and more real than anything anybody else says of you. You have the power to choose, and it's time to be that woman of God to rise up and say, yes, I will choose that, because that's what mature men and mature women do. And number one, mature people choose to have meaningful interaction with God every day. And the reason I say it like this is because I know we all have different, you know, we all have different dispositions, we all have different temperaments, we all have different ways of connecting with God. And I don't think it would be right for me to prescribe to you a way that it must look for you or even an amount of time. But I will say this, it needs to be every day, and it needs to be meaningful. Every day, I need it every day for the Father to tell me what he likes about me. I need to hear the Father tell me why he loves me, because it's in those moments where I find my power to choose. It's in those moments where I find my power to live. I need God to remind me every day of who I am in his eyes, because knowing that, it shapes everything else. And I say, this is who I am, and therefore I do this, and I choose this, and I decide this. God put it to me like this one time. He said, do you ever say to yourself, oh, I had a glass of water yesterday, so I don't need one today? And I was like, no, I never. And it was like, he's like, that would be silly and just ridiculous, right? You need it every single day. And it doesn't matter if you had some yesterday, you still need some today. I am water to your soul. I am your life. Okay? I'm water to your soul, and I'm your life. And you need it every single day. And so every single day, for whatever it takes for in terms of the amount of time or what it looks like for you, meaningful interaction with God. And it has to mean something to you. Otherwise, it's just religion. And we're not here to do religion. We're here to actually know God. We're here to have a relationship with him, so it has to mean something to you. Just one last thought, and then we'll move into time of response. Something that I feel like God has convicted me and challenged me on is that sometimes I let up off the gas because I've had successful choices in the past. And I felt like he said, just because you chose it yesterday doesn't mean you won't have to choose it again today. And just because you chose it today doesn't mean you won't have to choose it again tomorrow. But you do have the power to choose every single day. And if we will meet with him and find him, and we remind ourselves of who we really are, and we remind ourselves of what he thinks about us, then we every single day we can find that power to choose. It doesn't matter that we did it yesterday, and it doesn't even matter that we've done it today, because we're going to have to do it again tomorrow. So choose it every single time. So I close with this. Maturity is not about how much you know. It's about how much of what you know influences and shapes the way you live. Maturity is not about how much you know. It's about how much of what you know influences and shapes how you live. And we went through tonight's list of mature choices, and I hope you didn't say to yourself, I've heard it all before. I hope you were asking yourself, do I actually make these choices? Do I actually do these things? Does this actually reflect my life? So response is going to be, it's going to be simple tonight. God is inviting us to grow up. He's inviting us to be more. He's inviting us to step it up in our and really wield our power to choose. And so if you're feeling the Holy Spirit convict you in poor choices that you're making in life, be it some of the things that I said in relation to tonight, or it could be something else. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit put his finger on you about choices that you're making, then I just encourage you to respond tonight. And so I want to invite the band to come on up, and if I could, just to invite our staff and our life group leaders and the pre-service prayer guys to come up and be our prayer team tonight. And if you're feeling that conviction of the Spirit, and if you feel that finger on you to say, man, I'm not making good choices, or I realize my choices are not in agreement with who God says I am, then I just invite you to come forward and let our team pray for you. And I believe as they're praying for you, you're going to find a new level of power and a new level of identity so that you can really make the choices that agree with who God says you are. And if you're feeling God say, son or daughter, it's time to grow up, then I just encourage you to come to the front. God wants to give you a new power to choose. And if anyone needs prayer for anything else, also our team would love to pray for you. So feel free to come forward. So let me just pray for us as we close, and we'll move into response. Father, we thank you that you are a good father. We thank you that you do use discipline to change us and to transform us. And that transformation happens from the inside out. And I pray tonight that you would let those things that you want to do on the inside, I ask that they would express themselves on the outside. And I do pray, God, that tonight we would be reminded of who we really are. We would be reminded that we are royalty, that we are dearly loved by God, dearly loved by you. I pray that we would feel the conviction and the weight that we get to choose who we are. And I believe, God, that your glory is worth our very best, and so we can choose our very best. And I believe your grace is for us to choose greatness. And I just sense God saying, you can choose greatness. You can choose it. I've given you the choice. And you get to decide who you're going to be. So Lord, would we tonight get another picture of who you say we are? And would we choose to be that very thing? Would we choose to be the very thing you say we are? His affection for you should increase something on the inside. His love and acceptance for you should increase something on the inside. Where you feel the honor. There's something honorable rising up where you say, I'm going to choose to live as this type of person because this is who I really am. So I just invite you to come up. Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.